Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
I hope you're doing well today. I want to remind you that we have a seminar coming up the second week of January. I've mentioned that before, but I want to once again tell you that there are still spaces available. It's going to be on formational prayer, how to position people to experience deep emotional healing in the Lord. It's going to be here in Ashland, Ohio. If you're interested, you can get information on the Healing Care website, healingcare.org, or contact Lynn, L-Y-N-N-E, at gmail, healingcare.org. Lynn at healingcare.org. And she'll be able to give you information. It's going to be a great time. We always see the Lord come in power, and it'll be great to have you there. Well, winter's actually hit here in Ohio. The last few days have been bitter. I get up early to walk, and today, wow, I had to walk away from the wind because the wind was freezing my face, quite frankly. And as much as I love to walk and be outside, I couldn't wait to get my 4 miles in and come back into the house and warm up. I hope it's wonderful where you are. I know that we have people listening from all around the world. I wonder what today is like in Singapore or in Ghana or France or Great Britain and many, many other places that are now tuning in. So it's good to be with you today. We're going to share some more insights for the Christian journey. And I pray that to some degree it helps you walk out this way of Jesus in the way that Jesus would walk the way. So we're part of a little series. It's a series that's dealing with the flow of the Christian life and how one part feeds the next. And I'm sure you remember that we began with awakening, talked several times about the power of awakening. It's something that happens in our lives over and over again, and that awakening leads to abiding. And we talked about abiding and how we could spend more time with the Lord. And now we're talking about anointing. Now, the text that we really lifted up the last time that is so important comes out of 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, the second half, that it says, "As his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as he taught you, remain in him." Okay, so as a reminder, anointing is related to abiding. And so awakening to the kingdom and the presence of Christ within us and the power of community, as that awakening takes place, it influences our abiding. It empowers our abiding. It quickens our hunger for abiding. And as we abide, it has an impact on anointing. Now, I talked to you before that this notion of anointing is very important to our lives. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit anointing our lives so that we can draw into greater intimacy with the Lord, have a greater bonding of union with the Father, but also fulfill the call that God has on our lives to advance the kingdom. Anointing is this special endowment of the Holy Spirit upon our lives that enables us to gracefully fulfill that part of God's work that He's inviting us to participate in. And so that's a very, very important part of what we're dealing with here. And it's my belief that deep inside we have a hunger for anointing. We want more and more anointing in our lives, that we were made for that. And that as we learn to awaken and abide, anointing begins to flourish. Now, we talked the first time about what anointing means and how we stay in step with the Spirit. So we're going to talk about some other things today that relate to anointing. Now, again, and I know I'm repeating myself, anointing is related to some degree to our ability to advance the kingdom of God. And one of the aspects of anointing is the unleashing of spiritual gifts into our lives. I think spiritual gifts is a fantastic conversation. You can read about spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, Romans 12, and there's even some mention of spiritual gifts in 1 Peter chapter 5. Paul says that there are different kinds of gifts, but they're given by the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, And if in everyone it is God who is at work. That comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it begins with a statement that's important. And it says, don't be ignorant about spiritual things. It's important that we have an understanding of spiritual gifts because that's the way the church operates. And Paul gives this amazing metaphor as he talks about spiritual gifts. And he says, we are like a body. A body is made up of many different parts, and each part needs the other part. And what he's going on to say is that what God does is Christ is the head of the church, but the church is made up of different people, and these different people are all given different spiritual gifts, and those spiritual gifts are to be used for the advancement of the kingdom. And it is the presence of the Holy Spirit moving through us in spiritual giftedness that enables us to have a very special and effective ministry. So Paul talks about all kinds of spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and others, gifts of healing and tongues and interpretation and prophecy and words of knowledge, gifts of teaching and miracles. And then he talks about gifts of being an apostle and a prophet. And there are also other gifts mentioned in Romans 12, gifts of mercy and administration, gifts of leadership. And 1 Peter talks about gifts of hospitality. Now, the notion is that our Father, through the Holy Spirit, because we've trusted in Christ, enables us to have this gift mix inside, this special combination of gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to anoint and move through in order that we can be more effective in Christian ministry and Christian service. And so that becomes an important part of this idea of anointing. As we're walking in step with the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit that are present within us begin to be discovered, they begin to be developed, they begin to be confirmed by the other members of the body of Christ, they begin to be used for the advancement of the kingdom. Now, one of the things that I've always believed about spiritual gifts is that we feel most like ourselves when we're ministering in the areas of our giftedness. Now, why is that? Because that's where we're most in harmony with the Spirit and in harmony with the Lord. Now, it's amazing, but there are a lot of Christians that don't even know they have these treasures inside of them, let alone which treasures are present within their lives. That's why I want to encourage you, boy, go to Scripture. Read 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 5. Look at those gifts and begin to think about where it is you have particular interest. Maybe where you've seen fruitfulness in the past. Maybe where other people have found you to be especially effective. And what you want to do is to begin to grow in those areas in your life. I have a friend that he just has this gift of prayer. He loves to pray. He's effective at prayer. It's the first place he runs. It's the place he wants to stay longest. There are other people, they pray, but it's such hard work. But for him, there is a joy and an energy and a kingdom advancing that happens as he spends time with the Lord in the area of his gifting. Now, I have a belief that once we begin to learn about our gifts, we should spend, a bulk of our ministry time in the areas of our giftedness. So there are a lot of areas I'm just not that gifted. And in a pinch, I certainly am able to do some of these things, but there are other areas they become a natural part of who I am. And it's something I'm very interested in. I'm very interested in the issues of leadership. I'm very interested in what it means to sit and be able to teach people so that they can grow in the Lord. These are a couple areas where I think the history of my life will say God has given me gifting. And as I abide with Him in ongoing awakening, the anointing of the Holy Spirit on my life increases so that I can be more effective. I hope you see this as good news. You know there's a treasure inside of you. All of God's children have spiritual gifts. All God's children have the opportunity to use spiritual gifts for the advancement of the kingdom. That means you do. And I wonder if we were talking right now, if you would be able to tell me what you believe to be the spiritual gifts that are most active in your life. See, what Paul says is we don't get all of them. But we get a particular gift mix that best matches how God made us, where His anointing falls, and then as we participate with other people, great things are able to happen. I do seminars all the time, and it's great, and God comes, and we see wonderful manifestations of His presence and the Spirit. But I always do it with a team, and what's exciting is I know the part I'm to play, but there's parts I can't play at all. You know, I'm a horrible administrator. I can't administrate at all, and yet Lynn is spiritually gifted in administration. She likes it. She empowers other people through it. There are other people that are with me that are great at prayer. Some are great at counseling. Some are great at faith. Some are great at encouragement. All of those gifts are important for the body of Christ. And when we begin to discover our spiritual gifts, and we are anointed by the Spirit to operate in those spiritual gifts, not only do we bear more fruit for the kingdom, but also we feel better about ourselves. See, there is a wonder within every person that names the name of Christ, and that wonder has to do with the presence of the Spirit who has placed spiritual gifts inside of them. And as a group of people, it's exciting for me to know that we actually lack nothing. We have what we need to gracefully accomplish all that it is that God has called upon our lives. Now, here's what's important to know, and this comes out of 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. Gifts are channels of grace, but we need the Holy Spirit's presence and substance to move through those channels of grace to really bring kingdom growth. All over this farm, we have irrigation. And we know this, the ditch or the piping for irrigation is very, very important. But if the water doesn't flow, there's nothing fascinating about the ditch or the piping. But boy, when the water does begin to flow, those pipes, those channels, they become very, very important to watering out on the broader reaches of our farm. So it is with spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are these channels of God's grace, these grace giftings. But on their own, they're not completely effective. It's when the Holy Spirit and kingdom values and kingdom power is flowing through it. So back again, that's why we want to experience ongoing awakening that leads to deeper abiding. And out of that deeper abiding, our anointing begins to increase. And then all of a sudden, we're not only able to keep in step with the Spirit, recognizing what the Spirit is doing in our lives, but we're able to allow the Spirit to move through the channels of God's grace that begin to make such a great difference in our lives and in the lives of other people. Now, one of the further things about anointing that I think is rather exciting and at the same time awe-inspiring is that there are these moments of empowerment that can come upon our lives that are really episodic in many ways. They're existentially experienced when the Holy Spirit begins to fill us. Now, there's all kinds of scriptures that talk about this, wonderful passages of scripture. You know, I talked to you earlier about what will distinguish us as God's people except God's presence. We read about that in Exodus. But also the whole idea that Jesus talked to his disciples about the importance of being filled, being anointed. Paul used the phrase in Ephesians 5:18 that it's important for us to experience repeated infillings of the Holy Spirit in order that the anointing that is on our life can move forward to draw us deeper into intimacy with God, to secure that bonding that we have as being in union with Him, and also to advance the kingdom. Fresh infillings. That's an important concept. I wrote a book a few years back called Outrageous Love, Transforming Power. And in that, I talked about how Jesus was filled with the Spirit and how we need to be the Spirit. And it then led me to write a book called Untamed Christian, Unleashed Church, which is all about what it means to be filled with the Spirit. If you're interested, that's a book you can get on Amazon. But it's telling us about this anointing, this movement of the Spirit. Here's something that I've experienced. When I talk about the Spirit, I'm more excited about the Spirit. When I talk about the Spirit, I'm more open to the Spirit. I have a greater longing for the Spirit, and I've also seen that when I talk about the Spirit in seminars, other people begin to have that same longing and that same openness, and they begin to want more. I wonder what's happening in you right now. As you think about the fact that an ongoing awakening in your life draws you into deeper abiding, and once you're connected to that vine and the life of the vine is moving through you, you begin to experience an anointing of your life that teaches you, but also empowers you. That's right out of Scripture. Empowers you to what? Empowers you to keep in step with the Spirit, empowers you to minister in the areas of your spiritual gifts, and also empowers you to receive repeated infillings of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit over and over and over again. Wow, how important that is to our lives. Now, I want to add one other dimension. And by the way, please, even as I'm beginning to move a little bit, don't forget to pray about God being more deeply present in your life and being open to a deeper anointing and understanding your spiritual gifts and growing in them. But I want to talk one other thing, and that is that when we receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are then set apart for what I probably could call practical holiness. Now, there are a lot of folks that when the word holiness comes, really begin to get uptight, and I understand that. Holiness has often been used as a whip against us to try to modify our behavior and to get us to perform, and that is not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is this, that when we begin to be anointed by the Holy Spirit, we start to walk the way of Jesus the way Jesus wants us to walk the way. And that our very lifestyle becomes an act of spiritual warfare. I want to read a quote from Eugene Peterson in a piece he wrote called The Jesus Way. Jesus' metaphor, the kingdom of God, defines the world in which we live. We live in a world where Christ is king. If Christ is king, everything, quite literally, everything, and everyone has to be reimagined, reconfigured, reoriented to a way of life that consists in an obedient following of Jesus. Did you hear that? That if we're part of the kingdom, all of a sudden, how we live does matter. Now remember, we've already talked about identity. We don't seek to clean up our lives in order to be secure in Christ, but because we're secure in Christ, we want to allow the presence of the Holy Spirit within us to bring a certain amount of cleansing to our lives, to enable us to live according to kingdom principles, so that we then can move forward to be salt and light in the world. And so that's what the word practical holiness is about. Holiness does not give us brownie points with God. All of that has been taken care of in Christ. But holiness is allowing the Holy Spirit to empower us to live according to kingdom principles, to make choices that are in line with the values of the kingdom, or, as we've been saying before, to walk the way of Jesus, the way Jesus walks the way. You know, I really appreciate and am caught up myself in the grace revolution. And the grace revolution is the recognition that it's not performance or people-pleasing or possessions or power that secure us with God, but it's in fact the work of Jesus. And that it all comes to us by grace. And that's exciting. I want that hardwired into me. I want that hardwired into you. That talks about the glory of Jesus and all the wonderful things he has done. Having said that, that doesn't mean that grace allows us then to just run amok. It's not as if now that we're so filled with grace that our behavior doesn't matter. It does matter. It's a reflection of our security and our relationship and our union with God. So Jesus is the way, and he wants us to walk the way he walked the way, and that impacts our choices. That impacts the degree to which the salt has not lost its saltiness. And so anointing has to do with not only just keeping in step with the Spirit and allowing the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be flowing through us with richer anointings of the presence in us, but it also means that it translates into a life of practical holiness where we align ourselves to the kingdom. Now, really, I think that this is an important topic that we have to allow the Holy Spirit to speak into our hearts, because I don't want to be anti-something. What I want to be is for something, and what I'm for is learning how to live according to the virtues and values of the kingdom of God. So, as it says here, if Christ is king, everything, quite literally everything and everyone, has to be reimagined, reconfigured, reoriented to a way of life that consists in an obedient following of Jesus. Practical holiness is an obedient following in Jesus because we have bowed our hearts to the Lordship of Christ and His Holy Spirit has secured us as His children. And now we begin to move forward into a life of practical holiness. And so it's very important for us here in our little discussion of this flow of the Christian life is to recognize how critical it is that we keep saying, God, enrich the anointing you have on my life, that I might draw deeper in intimacy, be more secure in union, and I might also be effective in reaching out to advance the kingdom in the world. So, thus far, we've talked about ongoing awakening, and how the awakening that happens over and over again leads to deeper abiding. It empowers abiding. And now we've talked about how empowered abiding leads to anointing. And that the more we abide, the greater the anointing in us, our life, the sense of the Spirit's presence, the release of spiritual gifts, the empowerment of the Spirit, practical holiness. And what we're going to go to next is we're going to start talking about how this translates into a life of spiritual authority. Well, I hope you're doing well, and God bless you. And remember, His face shines on you. Until we're together again.